Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya has taught the Sutta Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajakacharya Astotara Sata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Sri Lahari Das Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adigaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Itai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We welcome you on the auspicious occasion of Sri Radhastami. We will read one verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Maha Atmana, tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritah bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam mahatmanastumam partha. Daivim prakriti mashrita. Bhajantyananya manaso. Gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakriti mashrita. Bhajantyananya manaso. Gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Mahatmanastu mam partha. Daivim prakriti mashrita. Bhajantyananya manaso. Gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Mahatmana. The great souls. To but mam unto me partha, O son of Pritha, diving divine prakritim nature ashita. Having taken shelter of Bhajanti, render service. Ananya manasa, without deviation of the mind. Gyatva, knowing. Buddha
of creation,
Adim,
the origin
of Yayam, inexhaustible. Translation. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Please repeat. O son of Pritha,
those who are not deluded,
the great souls,
are under the protection
of the divine nature.
They are fully engaged
in devotional service
because they know me
as the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
original and inexhaustible.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this effected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through the association of other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being.
They meditate only upon Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Translation again. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So this verse is very significant and instructive for us. We are marginal potency, we living entities, which means that we can come under the control either of the spiritual nature or the material nature. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the seashore, that sometimes when the tide is high, that portion of the beach becomes part of the ocean. And sometimes when the tide is low, that part of the beach is part of the beach. So sometimes we can be covered by the material energy, or sometimes we can be covered by the spiritual energy. In Bombay, in 1966, Mrs. Gopi Kumari Birla, the Birla family was the wealthiest in India, and in fact Srila Prabhupada said no one could measure their wealth. So I was arranging a program for Srila Prabhupada to speak at her home, Birla House. And I gave her a list of topics to choose from, knowing that Srila Prabhupada could speak on any topic. So she scanned the list and she chose the topic, how to be successful in life. And I thought, you know, the Birlas and their associates are already what we would consider to be most successful. But apparently, they were not satisfied. They wanted to be more successful. But when I heard Srila Prabhupada's definition of success, I realized they did need to become more successful in that sense. In his talk, Srila Prabhupada explained that we are by nature controlled, and that we can be controlled either by the material energy, which is personified as Durga, who rides on a lion and carries a trident or trishul, and that the three prongs of the trident are the threefold miseries of material existence. And as long as we are under the material nature, we will be pierced by these miseries. In contrast to the material energy is the spiritual energy, personified as Srimati Radharani. And success in life means to come out from the control of the material energy and come under the shelter of the spiritual energy, Srimati Radharani. And according to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, one who does come under the shelter of Srimati Radharani, Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha, is a Mahatma, or great soul. In Bombay, Srila Prabhupada was giving a series of talks at a gentleman's home where we were staying, and initially Srila Prabhupada was just speaking to his disciples, and he was speaking about the nectar of devotion. But whenever someone from outside came, Srila Prabhupada would change the level of discourse from the nectar of devotion to the Bhagavad Gita. So one evening, a very respectable gentleman who was a leading member of the Vishwa Hindu Parishad found his way into the talk, and he asked Srila Prabhupada that India is a land of Mahatmas. Traditionally, it has been a land of Mahatmas, and even now it is. But how is it that in spite of the presence of so many Mahatmas, India has so many problems? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the difficulty is that you do not know who is a Mahatma and who is not. And that's why there are so many problems. But here the definition is given. I first came to Krishna consciousness in Boston. And in the Boston temple, we would go out every day on Harinam Sankirtan and distribute books or magazines, more magazines actually, back to Godheads. Generally, at the Boston Commons. So I didn't like to stray far from the Harinam party, but one day I did have to go about a block away, and as I was walking down the street, a man, just a regular American man, definitely older than I was, he goes like this, "Mahatma, Mahatma, Mahatma." It was a joke. He was making a joke. But it struck me, you know. He'd heard Mahatma, of course. Everyone knows Mahatma Gandhi. And as Srila Prabhupada would say, one cannot become a Mahatma by being stamped with a rubber stamp, Mahatma, but he actually has to have these qualifications. So one becomes a Mahatma. That is our goal. Of course, you already are, but one becomes a Mahatma by association with other Mahatmas. And that is how Krishna consciousness works, and that's how disciplic succession works. We become Mahatmas by associating with our seniors. They became Mahatmas by associating with theirs, and so on. Now here it is mentioned, Bhajantya Ananya Manasa, without deviation of the mind. Now, as we know from the Bhagavad Gita and from personal experience, the mind can be our best friend or our worst enemy. When the mind is engaged in Krishna consciousness, it's our best friend. And when it strays into Maya, it becomes our worst enemy. So, by constitution, it's not a friend or an enemy. In fact, no one is. But by behavior, one acts as a friend or an enemy. So the mind has to be controlled, and the main, controlled means engaged in Krishna consciousness. And there are various processes, nine, Navavidhi Bhakti, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Those are the primary three. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and remembering Krishna. So, Ananya Manasa, we don't want the mind to wander into any other field besides Krishna consciousness. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that pure devotees don't want their mind to be deviated to any other form of Krishna besides his original two-handed feature. And this was demonstrated by Srimati Radharani and the gopis. They were having their rasa dance at Govardhan during the springtime. And Krishna, as part of his lila or pastimes, he disappeared from the arena of the rasa dance. And he went ahead and hid in the bushes. So, of course, Srimati Radharani and the gopis went to search for him. This is also a very important and integral dynamic in Krishna consciousness, and that is meeting and separation. Both are required to experience rasa or taste in devotional service, we might think, oh, we don't want separation, we only want meeting. But without separation, meeting is not so relishable. So Krishna escaped from the rasa dance to create that mood of separation, and he hid in the bushes. And the gopis were coming towards him. It's described like a phalanx of soldiers marching, you know, determined to find Krishna. So as they were approaching the bush in which he was hiding, he realized that they would find him. So he stood up and assumed a four-handed form of Lord Narayana. So from a distance, he looked like Krishna. And the gopis became very excited. Oh, there he is. But when they got close, they saw, oh, this is not Krishna, this is Lord Narayana. And they basically had no interest in him. They just folded their hands and said namaskar. And they said, we're looking for Krishna. Can you tell us where Krishna is? And that, you know, Lord Narayana just remained silent. Then Srimati Radharani came. Same thing. Saw him from a distance, thought, oh, it might be Krishna, came closer, saw it was Lord Narayana, and asked, Lord Narayana, I'm looking for Krishna, can you tell me where Krishna is? But Srimati Radharani's love was so powerful that Krishna could not maintain his extra two arms, and he dropped them and you know, assumed his original form of Krishna and was reunited with his most beloved Srimati Radharani. So it is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that many of us have even heard of Radharani, or even Krishna. I certainly hadn't. And as we know, he met his spiritual master in Calcutta. And at the first meeting, his spiritual master instructed him to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language to the Western world. And at the advanced age of 69, he departed India and actually arrived in America, in New York, at the age of 70. And, you know, out of love for and obedience to his spiritual master, and love for and compassion towards all living entities, Srila Prabhupada began his mission. And that is also, you know, the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada was a Mahatma under her divine protection. But she's also very compassionate. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes that
because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's hard to approach him. But his compassionate nature, Krishna has 64 qualities, and one is compassionate. But his compassionate nature is represented by Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada says that devotees take advantage of his compassionate nature, represented by Srimati Radharani, to approach her, or approach him through her. Of course, in a general sense, and this is how we would preach to a general audience, and that is that, you know, through the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we can approach Krishna. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is a little esoteric, are actually more interested in Radharani than they are in Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that one who is a worshipper of Vishnu is called a Vaishnavite. One who is a worshipper of Krishna is called a Krishnite. And one who is a worshipper of Srimati Radharani is called a Gaudiya. And we are known as Gaudiyas, which means that ultimately our goal of worship is Srimati Radharani. There's a well-known verse spoken by Lord Shiva, a very important verse, to Parvati. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param. Aradhananam, among all kinds of worship, aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param. The highest is the worship of Vishnu. Tasmat paratara devi, he says, but even higher than the worship of Vishnu, tadiyanam samarchanam, is the worship of those related to Vishnu, which generally means the devotees of Vishnu or Krishna. And because Srimati Radharani is the highest worshipper of Krishna, so her worship is the highest, even higher than the worship of Krishna himself. So these wonderful, beautiful divine truths have been disclosed to us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. And so on this occasion we pray to him and to Srimati Radharani herself to accept us in their service and help us fulfill the definition of Mahatma given here under their divine protection. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Rasaraj Prabhu.
The definition of ashtata is one aspect of the shelter of the divine energy. Seems, do the mahatmas, are they mahatmas because they take shelter, or because they take shelter they are mahatmas? Seems to be a...
It sounds like you said the same thing twice.
Could... If the mahatmas take shelter of the divine energy...
Oh, I see.
After taking shelter, we are expected to do service so that we can properly take shelter of Shrimati Radharani. But I know for a fact that I'm struggling to try to take shelter and I'm still very much under the control of material nature, and I can see it. And trying to take shelter, it almost seems here in this verse that it is only the mahatmas who can take shelter of divine energy. And you mentioned the other verse in the seventh chapter where unless I take shelter of Krishna, I won't be freed from material nature. So it seems to be a difficult issue where when I'm in control of material nature, I cannot take shelter of divine energy of Krishna, and I'm just forced by my past. How does one get beyond this situation?
Krishna has given us minute independence, and we can use our independence either to surrender to Krishna or surrender to Maya. I mean, it's true we have our conditioning and we have our karma, but anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Pure devotional service is not covered by karma or jnana. So it doesn't matter what our karma was, we can still surrender to Krishna. But in that process, the association of devotees is most important. Association of mahatmas. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is 90% association. But if we do associate with devotees, mahatmas, then and have the desire to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna, then gradually through different stages of development, one can come to the perfectional stage. So adoshradha, first you have to have some preliminary faith. Tata sadhu sangha, then you associate with devotees. Tata bhajana kriya, then you engage in the practice of bhakti yoga. And Srila Prabhupada says at that stage of bhajana kriya, one accepts initiation from a spiritual master to make further progress. Then anartha nivritti, the unwanted things in the heart, unwanted desires, unwanted patterns of behavior are vanquished. So that can be a troublesome area, and that can take some time, dhanartha nivritti. But then after that comes nishta. Then one is steady. One is firmly fixed. One isn't distracted by Maya. Then ruchi, taste, asakti, attachment, and then bhava, ecstasy, and prema, pure love. So it is. It's a gradual process, and as Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadashamita, Utsaha Nischaya Daryat. Utsaha means enthusiasm. We must be enthusiastic. Daryat, but at the same time, we have to be patient. Both are required. Srila Prabhupada says if one is enthusiastic, but enthusiasm without patience can lead to the desire to control. And patience without enthusiasm can lead to lethargy. So we need both of those. And and confidence of success in the end. And, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna consciousness is so pure and perfect that having once begun, one will be dragged to ultimate success. Yes?
Hare Krishna, hello Pranam Maharaj. My question is this. We have the Bhagavad Gita. If we want to hear what Krishna's words are in his message, what body of scripture should we look to learn how to take shelter of Srimati Radharani?
Well, the Bhagavad Gita explains. It's like this verse. If you surrender to Krishna, the whole Bhagavad Gita teaches us ultimately to surrender to Krishna. So if we surrender to Krishna, then we're automatically coming out from the control of the material energy and coming under the control of the spiritual energy. Vishwa Bhagavan, did you have a question?
I've heard in Chaitanya Charitamrita that originally God was one, and then he became two as Radha Krishna to enjoy unlimited transcendental pastimes. But then he went back and combined again to become Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when did all that happen? Was there some time when there was only Krishna and then it became Radha and Krishna and that? It seems to insinuate that there was a timeline like that, and we know they eternally exist.
Yes, that's a good question. And Srila Prabhupada says that we talk about it as if it was an event that took place at a certain point in history, but actually there was never a time when Radha and Krishna did not both exist. But it's like the cause and effect can be simultaneous. The sun is the cause of the sunshine, but they exist simultaneously. There is never a time when there was the sun without sunshine. But still, we can say that the sun is the cause of the sunshine.
So in the same way, Radha and Krishna exist simultaneously, but still we can say that Krishna is the cause of Srimati Radharani, or that his desire to expand his pleasure resulted in her coming into existence. Sort of a subtle point, but that's what it is. Yes, Gopal? Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the sweet class. I'm just wondering the connection between complete faith and complete surrender, if they're interchangeable or one is dependent on the other, or do you develop complete faith after the progression of surrender, or does it take complete faith to come to complete surrender?
Well, I mentioned these different stages, adoshraddha, tatha, sadhu, sangha. So it begins with faith, adoshraddha. But all of the subsequent stages up to bhava and prema are actually just further developments of faith. They're not different from faith, but they're just, further developments of faith. And Srila Prabhupada said that that one can be a pure devotee even from the beginning stage. You know, if you engage in devotional service without any ulterior motive, you can be considered a pure devotee even though you're at an immature stage. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of an unripe mango and a ripe mango. They're both mangoes, but the ripe mango is juicier and sweeter. So we can be pure devotees even from a beginning stage, but as our devotion matures, then it becomes sweeter and juicier, more nectarine.
Then if a devotee is a pure devotee from a beginning stage, would that constitute having complete faith? I'm just, I think of, we recite the offenses to the holy name and not having complete faith in the holy name. Do you have to reach? Can you say that a devotee has complete faith throughout the?
No. Adoshraddha is preliminary faith from the beginning, and then as he progresses, the faith becomes stronger, and then, in the final stage of prema, then his faith is complete, and then his surrender is complete. And up until then, you could say it's like different degrees of surrender. Of course, in a way, we surrender in the beginning. But that surrender is... it's like we decide with our intelligence to surrender. But sometimes, our mind and senses go here and there. But we've surrendered. We've decided, I'm going to surrender to Krishna. I'm going to give this life to Krishna. But still, our minds can wander and our senses can wander. But when we come to the later stages, then there's no wandering. In fact, there's a very interesting description
of the stage of Ruchi. There's a nice little book called Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in which he elaborates on these different stages. And he says, before the stage of Ruchi, we'll be chanting, and suddenly we'll notice that our mind is going somewhere else. We don't even know how it got there. But we suddenly notice, oh, my mind has gone somewhere else. But in the stage of Ruchi, your mind automatically comes back to Krishna. You don't even know how it got back, but all of a sudden it's back to Krishna. So that's a good position. Yes, Rasaraj.
The energy of Krishna, you talk about the material energy and the spiritual energy. And I'd like some clarification on my understanding. It seems that the material energy is almost like a reflection of the spiritual energy of the Dev Prakriti. And that it is a perception of that energy that causes us to causes forgetfulness of our constitution, nature, and Krishna. So it also seems that Durga is subordinate to Radharani, and had some clarification on that, if I'm correct, or are they two separate entities like that?
Well, it's true. You know, on the side of energy or Shakti, Srimati Radharani is the first, and all the other Shaktis are expansions from her. And, so ultimately the material energy is an expansion of the spiritual energy, which has the function of making us forgetful of Krishna. Yeah. Maya, as Prabhupada says, Maya is also a servant of Krishna. But she has the thankless task of keeping living entities in forgetfulness of Krishna. All right, any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Shemaj. Welcome to Dallas.
Thank you.
I had a question. You were speaking about the mind and the performers as well. We hear the story of the devotee who's engaged in service. I think it was Swamishnari or maybe Saravi Prabhu in Vrindavan, and he was unable to concentrate his mind on Krishna's name because of so much service. And the response that Srila Prabhupada gave was that, do you think that Arjuna was thinking about Krishna on the battlefield, or was he actually, you know, working and his mind was engaged in taking care of his duty on the battlefield? So sometimes I find that I use that as an excuse, because all of the, because my mind goes to like continuous thinking about all the different services I have to do. And I was wondering what your comment is on that, or what your instruction is regarding that.
Well, in a way, on the absolute platform, Krishna's service and Krishna are the same. So thinking of Krishna's service is also thinking of Krishna. But
we can think of Krishna's service and Krishna directly. And there are two beautiful verses towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita. And in one of them, Krishna says, you know, in all activities and for their result, just depend on me and be fully conscious of me. So, we should be conscious that we're doing the service for Krishna. I mean, we should be conscious of the service we're doing, but also conscious that we're doing it for Krishna. Of course, it is there in the back of your mind, for sure. But it could also be more in the forefront of your mind. And but when you've introduced your question by quoting Srila Prabhupada, I thought of something else that Srila Prabhupada said that might be somewhat related. And that was in Gorakhpur, when we were with Srila Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Goswami asked him that, you know, I'm so absorbed in service to you, what if death comes and I'm just absorbed in service to you. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, don't worry. Lord Chaitanya will come and forcibly enter your consciousness. Hari bol. All right, so I guess we'll... Next is a 10, right? What's a 10? I have it. All right. 8 a.m. Radhastami class. 10 a.m. Abhishek. 10:45 Radhastami class again. And noon, Pushpa Abhishek, and 1 o'clock feast. You stand by what you wrote me, right? Okay, so there we have it. We have a half hour until the Abhishek. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srimati Radharani Ki Jai, Sri Radhastami Maha Mahotsav.